Good morning to this service. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Not just for a short time, but forever. That's wonderful. I was planning to lead the singing this morning, then Laverne called me and asked that I moderate the service as well there in Wichita with Keith and Miriam. He said that the shunt had to be removed from Sabrina, so let's remember them in our prayers, and let's begin the service with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you that we can come together to thank you, to worship you in a special way on this day, to thank you that you remain in control and that you are God, and your majesty is never ceasing. Your kindness to us is never ceasing. I also pray especially for Keith and Miriam and the family this time, that you would undergird and strengthen them, and also that they would experience your faithfulness in their lives as well. We pray your blessing today in Jesus' name. Amen. As you can see, we've got some copies of songs. These songs are found in the new songbook that we'll probably be using shortly or sometime. On the one side, at the bottom, you see, "Oh, worship the Lord." I only put the part down that's for the verses, because I think the rest we all know by memory. So let's sing, "Oh, worship the Lord."
Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, in the beauty of holiness, in the beauty of holiness. Glory to the Father, abounding in mercy, be joyful, all ye people, and magnify Jehovah.
And glory to the Holy Spirit. Let's sing the other two songs that are found on your sheets. I sing the mighty power of God.
No song.
Sing This Is My Father's World. I grew up singing this song a bit more as a children's song, but I think it speaks so well of everything we see and hear is actually from the Lord. And so let's sing that in that way.
This is my Father's world. This is my Father's world, in your
Thank you. If you want to keep a copy, that's fine. Otherwise, pass it to the middle aisle and we'll gather it up at the end of the service. For the order of the service, Ronald Miller will be sharing with us in a meditation, and then we'll have a special singing. I guess they're at the other Cedar Crest right now, and so we expect them after a bit, and they will be sharing a number of songs with us. And after that, we'll also sing some more congregational songs, and then also have a time of announcements towards the end of the service. So that's kind of the order of the service, just to give you an idea. But I think we'll turn our attention now to Ronald, and as he feels, he'll share however he feels led.
Greetings. It's good to be here this morning. I don't know what you think of when you think of Thanksgiving, but there's a number of directions that our minds could go. I've chosen this morning to share some thoughts on something that I believe is very foundational for Thanksgiving. In fact, you could almost think of this as being a synonym. Well, no, not a synonym, but it has a lot in common with Thanksgiving. And that is the virtue of contentment. Now, the psalmist reminds us in Psalm 103, the second verse says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And I realize that it's a lot of benefits that we forgetful people lose track of sometimes. But possibly principal among those benefits is what it says in verse 3, says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." And it is such a blessing to be able to draw near to a God who has our interest in mind, and that's a priority for Him. Last evening at church, we had an interesting service, a little unlike any that I had ever been at. But Sam was leading our thoughts on thankfulness, and we did a fair bit of reminiscing. It's been about eight and a half years since most of us moved to Southeast Kansas, and that time gets around. For some of you, it might not seem like it's that long. I don't know, but there's probably some of you here who wonder who I am. This used to be home, but it is good to be here. But we had a good time of reminiscing some of the benefits that the Lord has chosen to visit us with since we moved. And there are a couple of verses that I think I'd like to just mention an introduction here that I'd like to mention that we looked at last night in Deuteronomy 6, verses 10, 11, and 12. I'll especially be reading verse 11 and 12. But talking about the Lord was reminding them that when things change for you, don't forget. I'm going to be reading, breaking in mid-sentence, I realize. Verse 11 says, "And houses," rehearsing the things that will be theirs, "and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." And while we don't identify with the children of Israel in every detail, there are some important things here that I think we can identify with. First of all, we no bondage. Secondly, the things that we have aren't necessarily things that we deserve. And it's actually, we live in a house we didn't build. But even the things that are in the house, where did they come from? You know, we can go up the line and keep asking, but where did that and that and that? And we still end up with God. All things are from His hand. And we certainly live in a land of plenty and have likely eaten and are full. But to those, there is a warning. Beware. Beware lest thou forget thy God. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. Last Wednesday evening, with this in mind, actually, this service this morning, we're seeing at a rest home, like we do the third Sunday, the third Wednesday evening of the month. And I went around and asked a number of the people there, I said, what are you thankful for this Thanksgiving? And I was just interested in the responses. Mary Ann Becker said, well, I'm thankful most of all for God. She said, you know, I try to live the way that would please Him. That was Mary Ann Becker's comment. Ida Longcarish said, and she, interestingly enough, several months ago when we were there, she had gotten up after we were finished and was walking somewhere, a little unsteady, and actually caught her foot and ended up falling, and it was kind of a scary thing for everybody who was there. She seemed to be doing pretty well, but since that time, she spent time in the hospital and has really had kind of a tough time of it. But it's looking pretty good again. But Ida said, I'm thankful for good health. That was interesting. Mary Vanatic said, you know, when I came to this place, I didn't know anybody here, or didn't know hardly anybody here, but they've all become my friends. And said, I'm just so thankful for these good friends and the good people here. Just a cheerful attitude, just one after the other. Lois Graves was there, and sitting beside her was her daughter and her daughter's husband, who live in the area, and they, the last number of times that we come to sing, they're there visiting her when we come. And so Lois Graves, though, in October, it was a year that her husband passed away. But Lois said this Thanksgiving, says, I'm looking forward to spending time with family. Don Fisher, 97 years old, just a remarkable, remarkable testimony of God's goodness. I remember a number of months ago, it may have been a year, I don't know, but Don Fisher was talking about some of the transition. He had moved away out of his house and was there and was a little unsettled by that in some ways, but not really very much. He said, but the thing is, says, I'm not going to stay here. He says, I'm going to go be with Jesus. And when I see Him, that will be wonderful. And Don, when I asked him Wednesday night, he said, what am I thankful for? Well, have you ever run out of things to be thankful for? Just open your eyes. It's all over. It's all over. I was encouraged by that. There's another fella there at the home place. And I don't know much about him. Don't know much about his story. It's been probably 6 or 7 years that we've been going there regularly. And I think every time we come and we arrive at about, a little after 7 o'clock often. And I don't know what time they serve supper, but he's still eating. And we gather around the dining room to sing, and he's eating. And he's seems a little nervous, and he's fidgeting. And we'll respond if you greet him with a hello. But he seems disturbed, and I don't know his name even. That's probably not to my credit. But someone who used to live there, who since died, said that he's a little bit troubled, this gentleman who's eating supper when we're there. And it doesn't look like he's made much progress by the time we get there either. He takes a lot of time to eat his supper, but he said he's been through the war. And he brought some things back. They're just hard for him to work through. Now he's an old man. I don't know which war. It's been said that we're a product of the sum total of our life's experiences. And there's a sense in which I think it's good to think in those terms. You know, some of the things don't change the longer life goes on, like our genetics. They don't change, but some of the earlier experiences in life tend to become a little more diluted as time goes on. Maybe their influence isn't as profound in some ways, but it is true, I believe, in a sense that we are a product of the sum total of our life experiences. But I would prefer to say it another way, or at least add something to that. Not only are a product of our life's experiences, but also our responses to those experiences. Because there's a sense in which there are certainly many things that we don't have any choice about how they came about or how it happened. But we do have a choice in how we respond. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Now, the people I talked to were expressing a real gratitude, a real thankfulness. But I believe that it's difficult to... Well, maybe I should say it this way. Would you agree with me that thankfulness without contentment is a pretty shallow expression? I think it is. This book of Philippians was written by Paul from prison in Rome, I believe, to the Philippian church. I don't think he spent a lot of time there, but there was a bond between Paul and the believers there that just oozes out of this book. It's just an interesting expression of camaraderie and love, and it's an encouragement. It seems that the Philippians were really wanting to bless Paul, to support him in a material way. It talks about the gift that he had received, but they didn't have the opportunity to do that. But Paul went on talking about that, talked about how he views some of these things, and I would just like to read now verse 10 and some verses following of Philippians 4. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful but lacked opportunity. See, they wanted to demonstrate their care for him. They didn't have the opportunity, but now they had that opportunity. And Paul was rejoicing with them in that opportunity. He says, now, not that I speak in respect of want, For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So now I'm not talking from the standpoint of someone who's really in need, because I've learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. For I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Have you thought recently of how powerful contentment really is? I think when Lynn Miller was here between 8 and 10 years ago, he talked about the power of enough. That's a different way to say it. But the power of contentment. After all, contentment is that quality that frees us from the tyranny of what isn't, of the things that aren't, of what we don't have. It frees us from that and enables us to enjoy what is. Don't you agree with me that it's very difficult to enjoy what is without contentment? To enjoy what is without contentment. There's just a couple of comments I'd like to make yet about contentment. Well, yeah, a couple of comments. Contentment is an antidote to anxiety and restlessness. Contentment has as part of the package sales resistance. Tomorrow's Black Friday. Sales resistance. But what I glean from Paul, how he describes things here in Philippians 4, contentment operates independently of external circumstances. Verse 13 says, you know, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'm sorry, 11 and 12 is what I was looking for. I'm not talking out of want. I know how to be abased and how to abound, etc. So this contentment operates independently from circumstances. I also note that it is a learned response. Contentment is a learned response. You know, that's how Paul said, I have learned. Evidently, it wasn't... He was in a different place than he was at one time when he wrote this. I have learned. So it's not something that comes automatically. It's a learned response. Thirdly, it is not self-conscious or self-focused, but rather Christ-focused. And we can maybe say others-focused too. But you notice how Paul said, now I'm really glad for you that your gift got through. He says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. He says, not that I'm, you know, was needing this so much, but I'm glad for you. He pointed them to Christ, the source. The secret of contentment is rooted in Christ's provision Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Christ is the source, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need. And also contentment, not being self-focused, being others-focused, seeks to bless others. He said in verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He was even in receiving the gift that they gave, he was careful to notice how this would be a blessing and a benefit to them who gave. I'm just impressed by that interaction. I don't think that I think of I think every Thanksgiving there's an event that I remember. During the time that we lived in El Salvador, there was an elderly couple who came to church, Pedro and Aurelia, and they were fine people, but Pedro didn't know when he was born, and Aurelia didn't know when she was born. They were, we don't know how old they were. They were a blessing, but they weren't rich in this world's goods. They were very, we would think of them as very poor, and at some point we became aware that they were, didn't have much to eat, and we tried to kind of stay abreast of the situation and make sure that they didn't go hungry, and took an interest in them, but they always were very appreciative. Remember Aurelia, I forget which one it was. It was Aurelia or Pedro who had an open sore on their arm. And Brenda dressed it for them for quite a while till it healed. But they were so appreciative and so grateful. And I remember one morning, the doorbell went. I went to the door. And Pedro was just a little man. He was standing at the door and he had a chicken under his arm. And he said, here, this is for you. Now, we had raised some fryers and had nice, good, juicy chicken meat in the fridge, freezer. But he said, this is a pollo indio. This is one of the good ones. It's not a confinement chicken, you know. It's been out. It's been running around, so it's good. It's not one of those confinement chickens. And we enjoyed the chicken in the soup, but it was not a lot of meat on it, and it was tough. But that really was entirely beside the point. We were incredibly humbled and blessed that Pedro caught one of his prize chickens and he brought it to us and wanted to demonstrate his love in that way. And I don't suppose that I've ever given as much as Pedro did that morning. He truly was able to demonstrate gratefulness and thankfulness in a way that I think of from time to time and want to follow his example in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ronald, for sharing those thoughts. Very thought-provoking. See that we're now ready for the special singing. I think the group will lead in several songs, so we'll turn the time over to them.
Good morning. It's a joy to be with you. We are thankful for many people, many things this morning. We're thankful for many people, too. We're thankful to be among friends who want to worship the Lord enough to overlook the imperfections of those that bear the message. If that doesn't describe you, you're in the wrong place this morning. But it's a pleasure to be together and to share a number of songs with you, hopefully from the heart, hopefully to your hearts.
Jesus, the joy of loving hearts, the fount of life, the light of men, from the best bliss that earth imparts, we turn unfilled to thee again. We taste the Jesus, ever with us stay, make all our moments calm and bright, chase the dark night of sin away, shed o'er the world thy holy light.
Can't help saying a few things about this next song, Here by the Water. I suppose for all of us, our Thanksgiving is at least tinged with pain. And for some of you this morning, your Thanksgiving may be awash in pain. I don't understand nearly everything about the text of this song, but I understand this much. Every one of us has found ourselves on roads not of our choosing. None of us has been called to go down those roads alone.
Knowing you can make them holy, knowing praise him. Ooh, out of the stones that I found here, and I'll set them down here, rough as they are.
Knowing you can make them holy, knowing you can make them holy, knowing you can make them holy.
Thank you for sharing those songs with us. I felt blessed. I think it's nice to see fathers and sons singing together. And then this last part of the service, we'll just sing some congregational songs. So if you have a selection that you'd like to sing, feel free. I thought we can begin this part by singing number 14. Now thank we all our God. We'll sing just the first and the last verse of number 14.
Who are dressed in sackcloth, in your midst forever.
396. What's that? Okay. I'm not sure which other tune you mean. Okay. Go ahead, Perry.
Angels holy, high and lowly, sing the praises of the Lord. Earth and sky, all living nature, let the stamp of thy creation. Praise ye, praise ye, God the Lord.
Stand for the last few verses.
The dead prevail and say, and earth with people's widening star. Wandered on, O praise example, flawless choir in costly temple. Praise ye, praise ye, God the Lord. Praise him ever, thou just giver. Praise him, Father, Friend, and Lord. Glitch glass, soul, in free chorus ringing. Glitch glass, voices, praise all singing. Praise the great and mighty Lord.
Thank you. Maybe see you. Yes, Perry? Number 582.
For the beauty of the earth, for the beauty of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies. Christ our God to thee raise, this our
Let's stand for this one. Number 20.
Yeah.
you. Sounded beautiful. I kind of hate to have to do this now, but I guess it's the time to take announcements. So we'll leave it open for a couple of announcements, and then we'll close with one more song.